Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. Our gospel lesson for this morning is one of the first miracles that we hear about in the Gospel of John. It's the first one. We all know about the wedding at Cana in Galilee. It's one of those stories, it's one of the few stories really about Jesus that has made it into common parlance in the English language. Walking on water is one that we hear all the time. Well, what is it that you expect me to do? Walk on water? And then the second that I hear probably most often within common parlance is, well, what do you think I can do? Turn water into wine? The story is known, and it's become so much a part of our common parlance and daily use that we've begun, I think, in some ways, to sort of adopt it, get used to it, ignore it almost as something extraordinary. Within our Christian world, we see this big story, this wonderful, amazing miracle that Jesus does as a sign of Jesus' great gifts. Gifts that we could never aspire to or achieve on our own. So at least for me, as I read the second lesson in Paul's wonderful letter, as we read along in that particular reading from Corinthians about spiritual gifts, it's hard not to compare the meager gifts that I have been given with the gifts of Jesus. Like most of you, I cannot walk on water, nor can I turn water into wine. If I could, our grocery bill would be significantly less than it is. I got to thinking about that. About giftedness. And about the spiritual gifts that we have been given by God, and whether we think of them at all or think of them as being adequate or necessary or helpful, or even see them at all as gifts of God. I have a friend whose name is Dina. And Dina is now a pastor, but when I met her, she was not. She was a research scientist working in the field of biology and cancer. From the first day I met her, I was struck by her kindness. It's not that I'm an unkind person. I'm just not sure that I have quite the gift that Dina has to always see the good in people and in every situation. To receive bad news with grace. To meet tragedy with hope. To look for the good side of even the toughest things. It took me a long time to realize that this was Dina's spiritual gift. Like we often do, I simply accepted that that was just Dina. I didn't see it as anything in particular or as something that was from God, but the more and the longer I came to know her, the more I saw in her that this was her spiritual gift, and I'd never really thought of it that way. It was such a small thing, so natural as to be almost unnoticeable. Until I saw how her kindness created a ripple in everyone around her. It brought healing where there was hurt. hope where there was despair. Joy, unlooked for. It was amazing when I finally began to look and see that simple gift within her was making such a difference in the world. It was her spiritual gift. It wasn't amazing like turning water into wine, or walking on water, or healing a leper. It was none of those things, but it was extraordinary. It turns out that those little spiritual gifts have immense impact. I wonder in you if you ever think about what your spiritual gifts are. What God has given you to give to others. It's easy to dismiss them, right? Or not even notice them. But they all come from the same place, from God. And they're all aimed in the same place, at our neighbor. Paul will write to the Corinthians, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be uninformed or technically ignorant." He says there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are a variety of services, but for the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. And to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Now, some gifts are obvious. You have an amazing gift of being able to sing. Now, for me, for you, that's probably not a huge big deal, but for me, the amazing gift that this choir brings is they can read music and sing at the same time. Which I find to be just about as miracle-producing as walking on water. So some gifts are easily identified. People can sing. We listen to Reed play, and I can't quite figure out, no matter how hard I try, how black dots on a page, thousands of them, somehow translate into something beautiful. My friend Rich has a clear and easy to see gift of being able to build anything. But you have gifts, seen and unseen, that are just as important. The gift of kindness, which I mentioned in Dina. Some of you have the gift of simply noticing other people. It's not one we think of very often, but simply to notice the presence of another human being and acknowledge that they are there can be the greatest gift someone ever receives on that day. Some of you have the gift of sharing your time and your wealth and your gifts at wherever there is a need. And again, the more visible gift of being able to teach, just fascinating. And I think that if you are able to teach over Zoom or some other video thing, you have been given an extra dose of the Holy Spirit and of patience. If you have any doubt, come teach my confirmation class some Wednesday. But beyond those visible and easily identifiable gifts, there lie underneath the everyday gifts, which I think are the fabric of what it means to be human, and the fabric of what it means to be the body of Christ. The little gifts of presence and prayer, of love and of acceptance, of justice making, of silence, of writing, and of being. It is when all of those gifts come together that we find ourselves in mission for Christ and doing the work of God. It is easy to get caught up in the stars of the spiritual gifts, those who we see and hear and that are obvious, but it is also equally easy to forget the quiet and powerful and necessary everyday gifts which God has also given us. Paul reminds us again and again that the Spirit of God is the source and norm for those gifts, and that we have not been excluded, even if we are not often seen. God stands with and between us and one another in every action. Christ is present there in spirit and in hope. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote in Discipleship, "It is true there is something which comes between persons called by Christ and the given circumstances of the natural lives. But it's not someone unhappily contemptuous of life. It is not some law of piety. Instead, it is life and the gospel itself. It is Christ, Christ's self. In becoming human, Jesus put himself between me and the given circumstances of the world, and I cannot go back. He is in the middle. He has deprived those whom he has called of every immediate connection to those given realities. He wants to be the medium. Everything will happen only through him. He stands not only between me and God, but between me and the world, and between me and people and other things." Our giftedness, our spirituality, our hope and our dreams and our ministry are all wrapped up in the constant and abiding presence of a God who chooses to be with us, to bring again new gifts, spiritual and otherwise, for the kingdom of God. And so I encourage you on this day to maybe begin to look past the great miracles that we see around us and the obvious and clear gifts that are there before us, and begin to look in yourself and in your neighbor for the little gifts that are the fabric of who we are as God's people in this world, for the sake of the world. Look in yourself for kindness and patience and silence and speaking and justice and hope, for recognizing the presence of others, of sharing hands and hearts. For there is one Spirit, one source for all of our giftedness, for all of our spiritual gifts. And it is the same God who activates and energizes all of us to be gifts for the world. Amen. Our worship continues this morning with our hymn of the day, Songs of Thankfulness and Praise, ELW number 310. Please rise as you're able.